This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
It is our weekly check-in with State Senator David Brock Smith. The Oregon Legislature passed the halfway point in the session. He joins us from Salem. David, thanks for being on.
Thank you, Kyle.
Well, where do we start today?
Well, I think we should start with thoughts and prayers for the family of Kylie Jones and Jamie Strintz and the other players that were hurt in that senseless tragedy that occurred Friday evening on Highway 42. Words can't express how sorry I am and how I feel it could have been preventative if our system was better. When the individual driving the other vehicle was arrested back in January for DUI, and he was out on his own recognizance, I'm just so sad for our UCC community, our Roseburg and Douglas County community for this tragic loss.
And as well, on a second note of loss, I was aware a week or so ago of one of the members of the Oregon State Senate who was essentially off on medical issues, and I understand that his passing was announced this morning.
Yes, my colleague and dear friend, Senator Aaron Woods, passed away at 4 a.m. on Saturday, surrounded by his loved ones. Aaron was battling cancer 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, he was in remission until about 3 months ago, 4 months ago. It's incredibly sad. He was a very good man. I'll just read you a statement from my friend and colleague, Senate Republican Leader Bonham. Above all, Aaron Woods was thoughtful, said Senate Republican Leader Daniel Bonham. In a building that too often highlights division, he stood out as someone who led with compassion, listened with humility, and treated everyone with respect. Aaron brought a sense of decency and humanity to the Capitol that reminded us of all of what public service should look like. And that is all true. Senator Woods and I became really close when he and I, along with Senator Manning, Representative Gomberg, Representative Evans, were at a trade mission to Taiwan back in the fall of 23. We were there mainly for the work with the Port of Coos Bay and the Pacific Coast Intermodal Port project. And its transformational efforts that would, once it comes to fruition for Oregon, especially the South Coast, Southwest Oregon region. Aaron, even though he was battling cancer then, he was just a go-getter. And just as Daniel said, a very thoughtful man. We, of course, this morning on the Senate floor, have his desk draped in black with a candle and flowers. And we had just a few words to say, and we'll have a more formal memorial for him in the future, but we limited our floor to a couple of House concurrent resolutions this morning because of people that were here that traveled some distance to get here and then ended our floor session early. So blessings to and prayers to Aaron's family and all that knew him. He was truly a statesman, and he will be missed.
All right. A lot of tough things to work through right now. Let's move on. If we can take a deep breath and kind of move on to some of the other topics. You had a town hall on Friday night with the other lawmakers that represent parts of Douglas County at the Roseburg City Council Chambers. How'd that go?
It went very well. There's probably, I'd say, 60, 65 people there. I really appreciate our residents coming out and asking questions and being engaged in this process. It was very civil. Of course, a lot of questions. There was some hostility towards my Senate Bill 210 that broke Olaf. a few weeks ago, Senate Bill 210, of course, is the referral to get rid of vote by mail. As I told you before and our listeners, that since vote by mail has been instituted in this state, the legislature has changed it. Right? We've added motor voters. So when you renew a driver's license, you're registered to vote. We've added, the majority party. I don't think any of them got any Republican support, but we've added you can remove the secrecy envelopes. We've added where you sign up for Oregon Health Plan, you're registered to vote. We've added that ballots can be counted up to 7 days after Election Day. And so with all of those things, I of course, drafted Senate Bill 210 that would, require you to have ID when you go in and vote in person. You could still request a mail-in ballot. But you need your government issue ID to do that as well. And it was a referral to the voters so they can reaffirm whether or not they want to keep vote by mail. There was, of course, a number of other questions. Excuse me. I'm fighting a cold. For the most part, everything went very well. Representative Boyce and Representative Osborne and Representatives Carlatos and I were there to answer all the questions that came to us. The following day, Representative Boyce and I did a town hall in Coquille at 10 a.m. on Saturday and then in Gold Beach at 3 p.m. That same Saturday. So we carried on through the Senate district as large as it is. We wanted to make sure that we could touch base in Coos and Curry counties as well.
All right, we're going to talk about more when we come back. The interview with State Senator David Brock Smith, a podcast at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247, State Senator David Brock Smith joining us from Salem, covering what's going on in the Oregon State Legislature. I know it's only Monday, but in the past few days, or maybe even as the week begins, what are some of the hot topics in Salem right now that look like they're going to rise to the top?
Well, I mean, you just had your advertisement for your electric company. We had a bill in the... I'm vice chair of the Senate Energy and Environment Committee. We have a bill that continues our rebate program for ductless heat pumps. They're fantastic, and fully support them. It's a great opportunity, and a big shout out to NableWorks Umpqua, as they are the group associated with working with the Oregon Department of Energy on that rebate program. We have this week. Well, today is it's kind of a rough day all around. My father's memorial is being heard in the Senate Rules Committee here in 12 minutes. There are some bad bills coming this week. House Bill 3489 is coming this Thursday in the House Committee on Revenue. And this bill would impose a severance tax on the owners of the timber harvested from public or private forest land. As you know, we went to a harvest tax a long time ago, not a severance tax. This is a bill that former Representative Holvey used to put forward and that we would put down. This is Senator Golden and Representative Gamba trying to push this through. And it's really not a good bill, and people need to engage on it, which they are doing, but overwhelming opposition to the bill. there is some good bills this week. There's a bill that I'm sponsoring that's in our Senate Finance and Revenue Committee that will exempt up to in state income tax up to $17,500 of federal retirement pay for pensions received for our armed forces, servicemen and women, which I think is at least what we can do for them in assisting them. We have a bill that's being sponsored by Representative Carlatos that will help. It will increase the age limit for tuition waivers for qualified students that were members of the armed services, which is a fantastic bill because not everyone is ready once they get out of the service to go into school and utilize those benefits. We have a House Bill, and that's House Bill 3920. We have House Bill 2145, which is a huge bill for our 36 county fairs and fairgrounds in this state. And it essentially, we adopted legislation years ago that would allow a portion of state lottery funds to go to fairgrounds. It's distributed equally, but it's capped at $1.53 million. This removes that cap and gives them the 9/10 of 1%, if you will. This will be a game changer for those for our fairgrounds across the state, and it's something that's needed. We also have a Senate bill of mine, Senate Bill 221, which is it's a bill that I've been trying to work on for a number of years. It's a hatchbox bill. This will allow for the continuation, but immortalization of that continuation in state statute with the establishment of the fish incubation nursery programs that are currently ongoing with the partnership of the Cocoa River STEP program and the Cocoa River Indian Tribe. As you may remember, Kyle, we used to have hatchboxes all over in our rivers and streams, and it's all about abundance of our salmonids. We have a lot of invasive species, such as bass and so forth, that prey on those fish. And so this bill is narrowed and had to be narrowed in order to move it forward just a Coos County rivers and streams at this point. But once we can show the data and the science of its great work, and I appreciate all the work of the STEP programs and the tribe for what they're doing, we'll be able to then expand it, hopefully, into the Umpqua system in Douglas County and Curry as well. So that's a little snapshot of the bills. The bad bill list is narrowing because we've made it through the first chamber deadline, as we've discussed in the past, and there's been a number of bills that aren't making it through. We talked about the gun bills last week a little bit. They're sitting down in Ways and Means in the House, and the Senate bill 243 is still sitting on the president's desk. And hasn't moved, and I'm hopeful that's where it will stay. We keep fighting along and making sure that we have our collective work pushing back against the bad bills and trying to get our good bills that will help our rural Oregonians through the finish line. I will add, I have a bill up on the Senate floor this week, and it is Senate Bill 926, and it's pretty aggressive towards our basically Pacific Corps. As you know, we had, of course, our horrible Labor Day fires. There have been lawsuits and payments that have come from Pacific Corps, but they all have not been paid. And essentially, what Senate Bill 926 does is it protects those ratepayers because it would prohibit the recovery of the payments and lawsuits if the fire electric or investor-owned utility PacifiCorp was found to be negligent or have a higher degree of fault on the part of the electric company. They cannot then be able to recoup the cost by raising rates on their rate payers or customers. And therefore, those wildfire settlements will have to come from Warren Buffett and the shareholders of the IOU. And so I look forward to moving that this week and getting it over to the House.
A couple minutes left. Let me ask you again about the issue of Oregon losing significant federal funding with all the changes of the current administration. It seems like that is becoming a bigger issue. A lot of state projects have a portion, sometimes a large portion, that is coming from the federal coffers. Where are we at on that? And what do lawmakers do if that indeed happens?
Well, roughly one-third of our budget is federal funds, and the state's budget has roughly doubled over the last 12 to 14 years, Kyle. Meanwhile, we're looking at a federal deficit of, you know, nearly $37 trillion. And just in one program alone in 21, when the majority party in this state established, you know, cover all Oregon with regards to health care, it was $100 million bill for the state. Now it's a $900 million bill. So what I've said is we can't be everything to everyone. There are projects that are getting cut by the curtailment. But when you're staring a $37 trillion deficit in the face, at what point, you know, when is it going to be okay? I think it wasn't okay at 27 or 17 personally, trillion. But, you know, do some people think, okay, we need to start doing this curtailment at 40, 50? And so as a member of the Budget Committee, the co-chairs have laid out that they are writing the budget based on what we currently know is coming from the feds. A lot of those dollars that we put in, we smartly do in the fact that we invest, especially in healthcare and Medicaid, Medicare reimbursements. We invest a dollar and we get a $4 or $5 or $7 return from the feds for those healthcare. And my understanding is from Speaker Johnson is those types of systems aren't going to change. When it comes to funding individual projects, road projects, infrastructure projects, the state cannot backfill. We have roughly just shy of $1 billion, so to date, but we're waiting to see what the May forecast will bring. And we also have a situation where we had to come together back in December and pay our bills with regards to our contractors that fought wildfires for us over last summer. And we need to figure out what that structure is going to look like to deal with wildfire funding in the future, because we know that's not going to change until we get into the woods and start managing those resources. So we'll keep you posted. I appreciate you keep asking those questions, Kyle, because I'm keeping my finger on that pulse as well. So thank you.
All right. State Senator David Brock Smith out of time for today. Thanks for being on.
Thank you.
1259 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.